Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 36, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist for June 22nd, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. My lack of sleep is killing me.
And I
must confess, I still believe. Having kids makes you lose your mind, 'cause you're so tired. With two babies, Jack O'Brien. That is courtesy of Walter Chestnut.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
That just came naturally. It was beautiful.
We did choreograph it.
Yes, yeah, the dance was tight.
The dance was beautiful. I am thrilled to be joined by today's co-host, one of the funniest human beings speaking into a microphone anywhere on this planet. She is Caitlin Gill.
That's me.
Yeah.
AKA Caitlin Gill, the roller skating grandma you want.
Caitlin.
Yo. I don't know why I used that. That felt unnatural. Hi.
Hi. Yo. Hey. Thank you so much for joining us and filling in for Miles. We really appreciate
it. What a deep pleasure. His shoes are warm and comfortable. I could never hope to fill them completely. Although my feet are very large, so I actually assume they might be too small.
And we are thrilled to have in our third seat. One of the great Daily Zeitgeist guests, Woo! A wonderful stand-up comedian. He is Mr. Brody Reed.
Hey guys, what's up? It's me, Brody, aka Wikipedia Brown, aka Baby Magnets. How do they work?
Why is it so much funnier with baby in front?
Why? I don't know, but it is. How's it going, guys?
That's really good.
That's.
Oh my goodness.
Those were both such wonderful and efficient AKAs.
We do what we can.
All right, before we get into who you are, Brody, we like to give our guests a preview of what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to talk about the fact that people want to fuck Mr. and Mrs. Incredible.
Who doesn't?
Not many people, apparently, don't want to fuck them. We're going to talk about any fictional characters that were important to our development as sexual beings. We're going to talk about Melania Trump's jacket a little bit more. We're going to talk about Southwest Key, which is not an all-inclusive resort where your parents go to try to fix things. It is the nonprofit organization that has been in the news recently for housing the children that the government is tearing apart from their family.
Camps.
We're going to talk about a Supreme Court decision that makes it harder for the cops to track you. We're going to talk about the man who has raised $85 million to remake Last Jedi. He has raised $85 million in IOUs. that is the as close to legal tender as that comes. We're going to talk about the Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom as a clumsy Trump metaphor. And we're going to do a quick check-in with the World Cup. And quick check. And of course, we got Bloid Watch because the Bloids, and specifically King of All Bloids, David Pecker, are all in the news today. But first up, Brody, we'd like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Okay, cool. So I was like, Space Force is a thing now.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking of like, what are reasons that we would need a Space Force, because they keep saying that the reason that we need is to like assert American like dominance like in space. I'm like, from who? Like from why?
The Martians, bro.
Exactly. Are we afraid Martians are going to attack? So the last thing of my search history was Mars attacks.
Mars attacks.
But for real this time? Yeah. Question mark?
No, it was the 1996 classic film, Mars Attacks, one of my favorite movies from when I was a kid. I rewatched it. Based completely on a whim.
How's it hold up?
Oh, great. Yeah. Just as good as you think it does. They go ack, and their brains explode when you play classic music. It's a great movie.
I never saw that.
Oh, what?
I know. That is my fault. That is not a statement about Mars Attacks. But is it, the premise of it seemed to be that it was like very campy, sort of referencing 50s Martian movies, is that kind of right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. Basically, the Last Jedi remake that these people want to make is probably what Mars Attacks.
But accidentally. What is something you think is overrated?
Something I think is overrated is I got these Hue lights. You guys know what this is?
Nope.
No.
It's just like these, they're made by Philips. They're like these lights that like connect to an app and they change colors in your rooms and stuff like that.
Okay, yes.
I've had them for a while, and they're, like, fine, but, like, my app has to update so much. It's such a bizarre feeling to, in the middle of the night, like, want to, like, turn your own lights on, and you can't because your app is updating.
That's what, so weird.
It's so stupid. There's so many menus and just, like, updates in my life. I'm just going to go back to regular light bulbs, I think. It's not worth changing my lights pink and blue
right
and stuff.
How do regular light bulbs work? I've not heard of those.
You turn them on. Yeah.
I only use LED operated.
Yeah, for sure. There's a filament inside.
Right. So what, and the lights themselves, they're like things that stick to the wall, that sort of thing?
They plug into just regular sockets.
Okay, cool.
But I'm not even completely sure how, but that is with Wi-Fi connected to like a different little router that you have to buy
Are they like Christmas
for
lights?
The lights? They're not like Christmas lights. They're just like bulbs that change colors when you want them to. And I think there's other different kind. My friend has like an orb that just like
oh, that's cool.
Just like changes color. And just like, okay, that's all right.
I don't know why I became all QVC there. I'm like, now, Brody, tell me more about this thing you're saying sucks.
It's a limited offer for, you know, five different installments of $19.99.
I don't need to recommend other podcasts. Just listen to more episodes from the past of Daily Zeitgeist.
Of course.
But if you run out, I believe it's 99% Invisible that did an episode about the light bulb and how, as an invention, the way it changed everything after it is pretty crazy, because night was just night. You didn't do anything at night.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you could light up
right.
the night. And the advances in technology from, like, medicine and, like, you know, our weird computers and
right.
flight and all this shit that happened because we could light stuff up was pretty significant. The light bulb is pretty important as a human invention. And at this point, we've reduced it to, like, I don't know, attach it to your phone and you can push buttons and light it and it turns into different colors. Like, this invention changed the world and, like, made our knowledge be so much larger and enabled us to do in so many incredible things. And so quickly have we reduced ourselves to, like, make it pink by touching a button. Like,
yeah, totally. Totally.
We should have higher goals.
It's so strange. Like, even as you say that, it's like, yeah, we used to have, like, total darkness at night.
Yes.
And I've lived in Los Angeles my entire life. I don't think I've ever experienced complete darkness.
Yeah.
I've never seen more than a dozen stars in the sky at one point in time.
Have you ever, like, gone out to the country? Because it's a thing that I don't notice until I'm, like, out in the country, and I'm like, I literally could have a tree 2 inches in front of my nose, and I wouldn't know at all. And then if it's cloudy, and then if it's not cloudy, it's like, oh, the whole fucking landscape is lit up by all these lights that are in the sky that I just never get to see.
Yeah, the only time that I've ever seen a full night sky is when I was road tripping through Utah. And I was road tripping.
We'll do it.
Yeah, and like people told me when I was road tripping that I had to go through Utah. It was like so beautiful. And then like I was on a schedule when I was road tripping, so I drove through the entire state at night in pitch black, and I didn't see any of it.
Right.
And every once in a while, I just see like some huge rock. I don't know where I'd be like, whoa, beautiful stars.
That's
though.
Huge. And then you're like, yeah, I know what you guys mean. Those rocks, they're big and black and
it
wow.
Come out of nowhere.
There is still a light bulb that is working in California at a fire department.
They've had to move it. They kept it on and they put it back up. That thing is amazing.
It was installed in 1901 and has been turned off only a handful of times.
Oh, wow.
And it's still going, baby.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because not only have we made light more useless, but we make it last less long.
Right,
like every
exactly.
time. We have light bulbs from 100 years ago that still stay on,
oh,
and we
gosh.
Don't make them anymore because you don't have to replace them.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we're dumb. We're so dumb. Sorry.
I wonder how many...
I got there fast today. Sometimes it takes me longer to get to everybody's...
We're
going to
get misanthropic.
Complete hopelessness.
Sure.
I'm dumb. We're all dumb. Everything's dumb.
Brody, what is something you think is underrated?
Something I think is underrated on a very personal level is there's this video that I keep going back to every once in a while. I'm a big Star Trek fan, and there's this one video I found. I used to be a researcher, used to be my old job, and I found a lot of fun videos. There is a Star Trek Voyager Frasier crossover.
That happened?
That totally
That's
happened.
That's a real thing.
It totally happened. It's a real thing. It was like a bit for like some kind of convention or some kind of like upfront or something. But they have like Kate Mulgrew and like a bunch of other extras and I think the Doctor, like all dressed in like Star Wars wear. And then they have...
Star Trek wear.
I make that mistake all the time.
And people get so mad at me.
A few people
just
threw their phones.
Yeah,
pick up your phone. Everything's fine.
And it's just the cast of Star Trek Voyager, definitely in the backseat of this bit, trying not to roll their eyes as the cast of Frasier makes a bunch of sex jokes about Star Trek.
Why?
Because that's what Frasier.
Right.
It's really great. I will tweet it. Watch it. It's totally 100% worth it.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Wonderful. That will be in our footnotes.
Yes.
And finally, Brody, what's a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
I have something that I think that my roommates think to be true that I know is false. This is a barb straight at my roommates.
Tea just spilled all over the table.
That's really our target demographic for this show.
A lot
is
of
your roommates.
Thank you. A lot of people, a lot of dumb people like to think that when if your soap dispenser is running out and you put water in it, it'll just like magically create more so it does not. It right. only creates gross lukewarm water that I have to pour on my hand. It's a bad surprise for me. Just to let you know, like, the main thing that you do with soap is add water to it.
Right.
So don't preemptively add water to the soap when it's already out. First of all, when the soap is down to, like, I would say 5% of the original. I'm really angry about that. I'm so sorry I'm inflicting this on you guys. But, like, that's just water. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that.
I mean, I wouldn't drink it, but I also wouldn't use it to wash my hands.
Right.
It is no longer just water.
No.
But it is no longer hand soap either.
It is no longer useful to anyone.
I assume you have a pump dispenser.
Exactly.
So the pump dispenser is prepared to dispense a gel. It has been calibrated for gel pressure.
Yes.
And what I know from being a poor person is that when you add water, it comes flying out at you in a jet stream.
Get it on your shirt.
Yes. Yeah, it gets a nice little extra laundry day, and your hands are still dirty. Yeah.
It's a bad surprise. I'm going to make my roommates... listen to this episode.
And I'm not confident that there's no germs being introduced during the putting the water in and screwing it back on.
Oh, that's
and
a whole
all that.
Other yeah. level yeah, of yeah, fear, yeah, yeah. Jack. Oh, you can't even start.
I can't do it, guys.
It feels like your hands are
dirty. It wasn't clean to start right. with. If you were worried about that, then nothing was ever clean.
Yeah.
You know what lives on your eyelashes? Anyway, what's
no.
that?
Oh,
God. The things that live on your eyelashes look like a 1950s sci-fi movie. It is fucking crazy. People look it up or don't. But the stuff that like you wake up with on your eyes is their poop.
Yep.
They're just pooping on your eyelashes.
Oh, okay.
We are host to colonies of life that yeah. would discuss.
I mean, that's a hopeful. That's a hopeful way to think about it. Is that,
I don't
like,
know these
you
illegal
contain...
immigrants. Nothing. They all over my eyelashes. I didn't say you could cut. There's a border. What is an eyelash without a border? It's just an eye, not a lash anymore. Now is it? Them bugs got to stay where they came from. My pillowcase. Right. Go back to your shitty country, bugs. Sorry. Off time.
All right. All right, guys, let's get into the stories of the day. The story of the day, I
let's
think.
Let's also get into the Incredibles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Am I right? Am I right?
Let's get into that husky voice.
Let's see if we even have to take off their costumes to fuck. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you can just, like, fuck right through their costume.
The original review that brought this up talked about how it was basically their costumes are essentially a second skin because of how tight they are. So this started with a review by The New Yorker's Anthony Lane. You know, he is The New Yorker's main film critic, and he's also their main Disney...
perv.
Yeah, Disney perv. No, Disney historian. Like, he has written some really interesting articles
on the
history
thing.
Of Disney.
Disney perv, Disney yeah. historian. Right. Why else are you studying
but
that?
I've read a lot of his reviews, and he's never let this sort of thing, like, and we can all agree that we want to fuck the Incredibles type of a vibe.
Oh, she's thick.
She's a little snack. So he
Did
talks.
You just call her a snack? Yeah.
He's a snack. So I'll just read the offending paragraph.
Read it in a sexy voice.
Do you want to? Yeah, can we? Let's give a little musical background, maybe? Like,
take your seat at any early evening screening of Incredibles 2 in the coming days. Listen carefully, and you may just hear a shifty sound as of parents squirming awkwardly beside their enraptured offspring. And why, kids? Because mommy just leaned over to daddy and whispered, is it just me? Or does Mrs. Incredible kind of look like Anastasia in 50 Shades of Grey? You know, the girl in the red room with the whips and all? And daddy just rested his cooling soda firmly in his lap. And like Mr. Incredible, tried very hard to think of algebra. As for how Daddy will react later on, during the scene in which Helen and the husky-voiced Evelyn unwind and simply talk woman to woman, I hate to think, but watch out for flying popcorn. And that is the end. It ends with him imagining... asking children to imagine their father getting an erection so powerful and spontaneous that it just bursts through the bottom of his popcorn and sends the popcorn flying with his hands like on the side of the popcorn. So the kids are just like, what the hell just happened?
I'll watch what he's watching.
There it is. There it is.
Oh, man.
So this seemed like maybe just a one-off weird thing Anthony Lane was going through, but then a writer at the Huffington Post was like, oh, I have a good friend, the electronic musician Baths, who has, since the first Incredibles come out, talked about how he has desperately wanted Mr. Incredible to fuck him, quote, up and down the goddamn block since he was a young man and first realizing he was gay. And it was just an interesting, that article is actually really touching and sweet, where he's just talking about how you know, seeing some of these characters in sexual situations on the internet was actually a good alternative to pornography, where everything's just upfront and people, you know, having sex and it's all completely removed from any sort of human emotion.
Yeah.
He needed the sort of drawings and the people just being in normal human contexts to actually make it seem like, oh, this is something that connects to me. And so I don't know. I think it's an interesting conversation.
I love that we're living in a time where animated porn is becoming like not mainstream, but it's like getting acceptance or something.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Bursting through the surface.
I mean,
like
if we're
going to
be honest, The Incredibles did great things for Rule 34. I mean, let's be honest. Ms. Incredible, very sexy character.
She can get it.
She's got four hips. She's stretching all up and down that movie.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's its own fetish.
I mean, she
that's
is
true.
Elastigirl. I feel like they made the Stretch Armstrong character a man because they knew they thought about making it a woman. They were like, no, that's too much.
People are gonna
what
bad
we would
things.
Unlock, yeah, yeah. What we would unlock would be bad for the culture.
All I have to say is I have two different folders where I put my naughty bookmarks.
Oh, no.
One called Things and one called Stuff. And, and yeah. And
things
I won't say
stuff.
Anything else.
Okay.
Stuff is where all the weird things are.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I think it's not that weird. I mean, porn is an exploration of fantasy. It is a visualization of something that only lives in our head, and then we get to see it in real life. It is not the same as what we actually want to do. And especially, like, when you look at what's trending in porn and how some of it is, like, eyebrow-raising or taboo.
Yeah.
Like, that's the fun of it being a fantasy. Yeah. Is that you do not want to do, you fuck your stepbrother in real life. This is the second time on the Daily Zeitgeist in which I have referenced
step-family
porn.
Yeah, yeah.
But it amuses me so much because what we're all like jilling and jacking off to is bad acting. Like, that's the part of it that we're really into is this fake relationship. And the animated stuff just is that. It seems even more natural to me to explore that in a way that is art because it is just a fantasy. Everything you're having about that sexual experience is an illusion. And if you want to keep it an illusion, if you don't actually want to watch, you know,
two coked out junkies or whatever.
Right, whatever thing you'd prefer to see animated in real life, but you do want to see it so that you can enjoy yourself, then go for it. Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Plus, there's a lot of talented artists out there these days.
I'm
just trying to support my...
No, seriously, in this gig economy of ours, like, there's so many people who are just, you know, great artists.
I mean, have you been on Tumblr recently?
Right.
There's some great stuff.
There really is. But yeah, I think just in general, as sexual beings, like the modern human being is like Freud created this whole model of human sexuality that was like you imprint your sexual desire on your parent of like your mother or father.
Yeah,
and I
the
think
hot
that was
one.
Right. Yeah, whichever was the hotter.
Or maybe you have a roller skating grandma that you kind of like a fuck.
But I wonder how much of that was just that those were the only adult formed humans that you got to see. And that we exist in a world where the first, you know, adult or human forms that we see are cartoons or, you know, characters in, you know, PG movies. Like, I just feel like that. And now, presumably, porn, kids who grow up now. Like, I wonder how much different that is, you know, how much what our ideal
not
sexual
different
being...
at all, I would assume.
Right.
I mean, have you guys seen, remember that girl from the Goofy movie? That was my first crush for sure.
Yeah, the girl from the Goofy movie.
I watched the Top Gun beach volleyball scene with deeply confusing feelings for a long time because I now date a woman and I think what I was understanding is homosexual heat and power, but I didn't know it didn't translate itself for many years.
You were just... I guess many lesbians are into volleyball.
Volleyball and scratch dudes. I mean, honestly, it's not none of it. It's all a straight line. And I also appreciate boys. Look, all of it came into a very complicated and delicious stew. I'm trying to remember cartoons. I think I love.
You want to fuck?
Yeah, like probably Roger and Jessica Rabbit.
Oh yeah,
Lady, I didn't understand my feelings about. Yeah, lots of that. For a long time, I felt a deep resentment at traditionally attractive women, human or drawn, because my own human form is unconventionally attractive, and I felt a bitterness that has since faded from my being, much to my appreciation. But yeah, for a long time, like even pretty cartoons or whatever would piss me off. Pretty cartoons would piss
you,
me
Shira.
Off more. Like, I didn't.
You don't have a real personality. You were just drawn that way.
Yeah. Nobody can look like that. You don't even look like that. You're drawn. How can I look like you?
You're not even
cartoon.
Real.
I don't have earrings to make me famous, Jim. Or I guess a superstar.
Yeah.
Oh, she was already famous.
She was my best friend growing up had a very real and very long-term crush on Misty from Pokemon.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah. It was the short shorts for sure.
Misty. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And the suspenders, now I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
The girl chipmunk from Alvin and the Chipmunks. I
really?
Think, oh, yeah. I had feelings for. Yeah.
That's fair.
As a, He-Man. As a child.
I forgot
yeah,
how.
She can nibble on my
He-Man
nuts.
Is the most homoerotic.
Okay.
Just again. Universe.
Everything and I loved, apparently. When I was five, you know those, you can draw on a piece of paper, mail it in, and they send you back a dinner plate?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did one of those at like five, and it's just He-Man, like flexing. Oh, and yeah. Then my scrawl above that just says He-Man on the top of the
yeah.
plate. So obviously a deep crush.
He-Man is a naked, ripped dude in fur underwear, and there is a character in that universe named Fisto. Who
oh, yeah.
is just a naked, ripped dude in, I think, leather underwear with a giant, like, metal fist.
Hell yeah.
And it's just...
I'm a gay man. We figured it out. I'm a gay man in love with a woman. This took a long time to get there, 37 years, but I have arrived. Welcome to my
there
truth.
There it is. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zy Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back.
Hi, hi.
And it's impossible to keep up with the latest on what the president is pushing for with regards to border security, as he calls it. I think he is now telling the Republicans in Congress not to waste their time on a plan that he proposed in the first place, wow. as far as I can tell. So I think it's probably more valuable just to kind of be backward facing. Look at what has happened that we know for sure has happened. And the big story of yesterday was Melania Trump's bizarre jacket.
Yeah.
It was, so we talked about it briefly, mentioned it briefly yesterday. It was a Zara jacket that said, I really don't care, do you? Question mark.
I have to know where she got this jacket. How does she even, like, in the, like, Venn diagram of, like, people that she knows and things that she does, who is bringing a Zara item into her life?
A Zara item with a spray-painted back that says, I really don't care, do you? Like, I wouldn't,
I mean, when I saw that, I honestly interpreted as, like, this is, I hope you see this, Donald. Like, she's walking in front of him. She's, like, making a point.
Yeah, but I is the operative word.
Yes.
Like, she's speaking for herself
right
there. I don't, if it's a message addressed to her husband, she has his fucking number, send a text. I don't,
right.
Like, there are fashion blunders or whatever word you're going to use, choices
yeah
that she could have made that would have distracted from the topic of mm-hmm this atrocity of putting children in concentration camps to make them slaves. Because you're a slave if your body earns money, and that's what those little bodies are doing
yep
in a tiny cell. She could have, like, I don't know, worn a midriff, mm-hmm, and
right
then the news would have been like, weird choice.
Yeah.
And, you know, our response as collectively worried people with a sense of humanity would have been like, don't be distracted by her midriff. That's stupid to talk about.
Right.
She wore a jacket to mm-hmm Texas,
mm-hmm,
and that jacket was, it looked like she fucking painted I don't care on it.
Mm-hmm.
And when she left, again, maybe that was the only jacket she had. Fine, turn it inside out. Give it to a child instead
of
wear
possible
it. Wear
right
nothing. Literally wear
yeah
nothing instead of that jacket. It, like, if you wanted to say, like, oh, it's just the only coat she had, it doesn't help that when she left the facility, the quote she decided to leave the children with was good luck.
Good
oh
luck.
No.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck, kiddo.
Good luck.
Oh,
if
man
that was the only phrase I knew in the language of the country I was visiting kids in a camp
yeah
in, I would say nothing instead.
And
right
you can't say that she's not fashion conscious.
She's a model.
She's a model. One of her parents was like a fashion designer or
yeah
something.
Yeah, and every choice she makes, she does communicate with fashion.
Mm.
Like, she uses fashion as an art very successfully. She conveys respect. She conveys gravitas. She conveys power. She conveys authority with
mm-hmm
her looks. She's obviously chosen to use stark images.
Yeah, we've seen her
so intentional
her winter formal empire,
yeah, exactly,
like Game of Thrones.
Right.
This is a woman with an eye for design. If she's buying a $39 clothing item, it's to make a statement.
Yeah, I mean, I get that she may be going through a very apathetic phase for the entirety of her marriage, like a teenager or something.
Right.
But you still have to represent this country, even though you don't
that is,
understand it.
Yeah. Just womp womp to that. Don't care.
Right.
What
womp
I,
womp.
Yeah.
The
I don't care is the theme. You have Mr. Womp Womp Lewandowski,
right,
whose name I don't care to say right,
mm-hmm,
which is just a terrifying. That's terrifying. That clip is like legitimately looks like satire that would scare me, only it's real, so it scares me even more.
Right.
You
yeah
have Melania with a jacket that says literally, I don't care. You don't have your white nationalist face of government stepping into Mexican restaurants in two separate incidents on accident.
Yeah.
This is coordinated. This is on purpose. This is racist as fuck. This
mm-hmm
is wild. I am a first-generation immigrant from Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents brought three white babies into this country and had one more. It was real easy to get in. Nobody had a real problem with us being here. Nobody ever asked me where I'm from.
Right.
You can't. This is racism.
Yeah.
This is slavery.
Absolutely.
The CEO of the company that we'll talk about today, Southwest Key, makes $1.5 million a year.
Yep.
Up from half of that 10 years ago when this guy was still doing this job. This system has been in place for a long time. We were ready for these little tiny slaves.
Right.
We had an infrastructure to house them.
Yeah.
We do not have an infrastructure to return them.
Right.
That is a choice. We made one plan and not the other.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in the executive order that he just signed that is supposedly supposed to reconnect these families back into cages together, it changes crossing the border from like a civic like breaking the law to like a criminal one. So it's just going to lead to these families absolutely being separated, like without a doubt.
Well, Yes, it is doing subtle changes, such as debatably whether or not it's making a civil problem a criminal problem for those individuals. But it's forcing us into the position where we're saying, like, oh, great, we've solved the problem. We're not separating families and putting parents in one detention center and children in another. We're just clumping them all up in one place.
Right.
So we are supposed to accept as a solution jailing all these people against their human rights as long as they're in the same facility, which also doesn't mean together.
Yeah. And these chain-linked walls.
Right.
You can call the business
chain-linked hotel rooms
that administers these facilities a nonprofit.
Right.
Individuals profit from this business.
Right.
This is what slavery looks like. It's an institution to store bodies and profit from them.
Yes.
I feel like this government is going to start, like, eventually they're going to institute, like, gas chambers and call them, like, scent rooms or something.
Right. Right. Aromatherapy.
Yeah.
Yes.
It
so the company
like
is called Southwest Key. They have received, over the past decade, $1.5 billion in government contracts.
$1.5 billion to store human bodies.
Yes. And when they were evaluated over the past years, they have racked up a whopping 245 health violations, 78 of which were considered high risk. You know, the categories include a child who was clearly in pain, who was not given medical care promptly. Another child with a wrist fracture was not seen by a doctor until 3 days later. Another child felt ill, was not given any medical treatment. One employee quit after being told he had to enforce a rule that siblings weren't allowed to hug. A report in the 90s talks about how one Southwest Key employee flipped the beds of kids who didn't immediately respond to him and discouraged the kids from contacting lawyers and refused their right to confidential phone calls. Yeah, and it didn't give them mandatory field trips to the outside world. And yes, the guy who runs the company, who is the CEO of this quote nonprofit, makes $1.5 million a year now, which he has tripled from 2013. So yeah, it's a business. Just like, you know, when we talked earlier this week, how when Trump was elected president, the private prison industry, like two of the biggest companies, stocks shot up 30% the next day because, you know, it's a huge business to store human beings. I don't know.
It's funny you shouldn't. It's a podcast. We're supposed to be able to talk about this news, and this news will leave you pretty speechless. It's difficult to look at, and this company's been doing it for a long time. The way these problems have escalated and accelerated since the Trump presidency is terrifying. But to suggest that we haven't been up to this and that this is un-American is totally false. This is so deeply American.
Right? Yeah. It's incredibly hard to, like, tweet about, you know, like, Kanye and stuff.
I know.
Concentration camps going on.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
And it's not okay. And it's happening. It's actually happening.
It's real.
Ah, man.
Yes. It's hard. You know, there's questions about whether or not the image that moved everyone who saw it of a crying girl at the border is really a child being torn away from her parent. Like, what's the exact story?
Right.
And those are valid questions to ask.
Yeah.
Is any circumstance where a child is screaming next to law enforcement officers at our border in terror okay? Mm-hmm. What explanation for that photo is like, no, that's fine.
Even the footage from the facilities that are like...
That they're letting out.
They're letting out are still so bad.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is what you thought was good enough to show?
I don't know. Show them where they have walls and blankets. Ugh. Well, sir, our walls are actually cages and our blankets are emergency tinfoil. Well, you know, potato cage.
As they say. Yeah, and a lot of the imagery that is coming out is not that dissimilar from imagery that happened during the Obama administration, and conservatives are pointing to that and being like, well, see? And yeah, it's been a problem for a long time. It's been bad. Nobody was saying it's not bad. It's just cruel to take that thing that was really bad and be like, and now you experience this by yourself without access to your parents. And you don't, not only do you not have immediate access to your parents, you don't know if or when you will ever be able to see your parents again.
Yeah, and yes. That should be the parents' choice.
Right. That's right.
Oh, man. Oh, that felt good.
Yeah, how many of the parents down there do you think are like...
There's one.
Yeah, there's at least
exactly
one who's
one.
Like,
maybe not even a
damn.
Set of parents, but one right. Parent is like, you know, all right.
Can you, send me back alone?
Look,
it's fucked up.
I traveled but with true. Two babies a couple weeks ago. It's not easy.
No, it isn't.
By the
easy.
End of that, I would have, you know,
yeah.
let the TSA do an extra check on them while I, you know, went to the bathroom in peace.
If the TSA offered to babysit just the right time, right. You might say yes.
I would
don't do it.
I would have tipped them off that, like, he said something about not packing his own bags or something. Yeah. And then
I think he brought too much liquid or...
Yeah, right.
I mean, maybe I'm oversimplifying, but this nation was founded by religious weirdos too weird to be weird in a religiously weird place who came over here, decided it was theirs, killed everyone that was already here, and then proceeded to take another country and then make that country this country, and we're really mad. That is our history. That's who we are. Mm-hmm. We built this nation on free labor. We stole it from someone else. We killed everybody who was already here. We are always moving up from there. Like, that's what we have to come up from. Yeah,
right.
It was bad in Obama's era. It was bad in Bush's. Mm-hmm. It was bad in Washington's. It's always been
bad.
We started this bad.
We're evil. When are we going to look at ourselves and be like, how, we just created a space force. We are the Galactic Empire.
We're real.
That's so true. There was a Trump speech last night where they were chanting, space force, space force.
It's so stupid.
Is that why they put, like, they added a couple more $1 billion to, like, the military budget recently?
Yeah,
is that
not?
What that was for?
For space.
Yeah.
And it may sound like, gee, Caitlin, you must hate the Stars and Stripes. Gosh, mm-hmm. Don't you just hate this country. And I'm stealing this excellent paraphrase from someone out there who, if you saw this too, then actually quote the person who said it. But this is about a debate between whether or not you see America as a set of ideals or America as an exclusive club. I want to say it was... I don't know. I'll get it right.
Doesn't matter.
I'll retweet it. So look for me on Twitter and I'll retweet it, but it was really good. And that's exactly what this is.
Just so the listeners know, I have an American flag fidget spinner in my hand
and
right
you are
now.
Right. Which is
so
against
don't
the
ever
flag
say
code,
I'm not a patriot.
But I'm totally fine with it in this instance. I love so deeply the set of ideals that this country is. And I know it's the reality of its history and how far we have to go to get from that. And we are sinking back down into, like... Mm-hmm. The dark of who we are. There's so much light in who we could be, and that's what people are drawn to. And then there's this darkness.
We're like
we
an abusive boyfriend who hasn't even done the worst of it yet. Yeah, we're gonna get there.
It's American. Yeah. This is American. This is America. This is who we are. It's who we've been. And if we want to be different, we have to look at it hard, and we have to make different decisions. And the
Someone
way we make
write
decisions
a song about
is
that.
To vote, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is America.
I bet it'd have a really great video. I would watch it like 3 times a day.
The Supreme Court did something that is moving in the right direction, it would appear. The Supreme Court has made
cops illegal.
Made cops. They have made cops less able to just use your cell phone to track you, which is basically, I mean, we now live in a society, and, you know, this should have been obvious to me since... I had a mobile phone, but we live in a society where cops can track you at all times if they want to, because our phones do that. Like, we ask them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Supreme Court was just like, oh, yeah, that's kind of dystopian. We shouldn't be allowed to do that anymore. So now you need a warrant to access the data. That, you know,
a warrant and a password.
That's right.
A thumbprint. And...
Right. To say, like, okay, their cell phone signal is bouncing off a tower, like in this part of the city or whatever. So, you know, that's moving in the right direction. And there are exceptions where the police can say, oh, this person is an imminent danger to other people or something like that, which. Probably won't be too hard for them to make that argument. But.
For sure. Mr. Police, you could have saved them. I texted you all the clues.
I mean, it's only a matter of time until someone updates that movie.
It's an interesting privacy pickle. Because in theory, like, police can follow your car, right? Your car has so many distinguishing features. Maybe you put a bumper sticker on your Chevy Nova so everybody knows that that's your Chevy Nova.
I love Porgs.
Right?
Sue me.
It's it's just like, where does that line stop where a cop can just observe you getting into that car and then follow you in that car? There's some principle where your cell phone is sort of that car, and like, I want bad people to get caught when they do bad shit, and also that's super dystopian to just be able to follow us around all the time, and I wish I could trust police or civic institutions to use that information responsibly, and I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
I really don't. Especially not right now when we're going all Handmaid's Tale before the fertility crisis. Like, right. I feel like not the right time.
Yeah, and fertility has gone way down in the past couple decades.
I did see some weird report that the headline was jarring, and it was like USA Today, like, more white people dying than being born, as if it was terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's an acute relief.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm actively trying to kill my bloodline. I'm doing my part. Yeah, let's get this going.
I mean, I also saw a headline today that most people love dogs more than they love other people. And I'm like, all right. I got to tell you that.
Yeah, if we were honestly separating puppies from their mothers at the border,
Also, white people are having less babies because our economy is so bad. Let's focus on the real reasons. Let's just not scare all white people.
No, into fucking
everyone's having less babies.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to just not look at. Let's, no. Come on.
Muppets are having less babies these days.
Let's horizontally hate each other. Don't look up.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and it's time to check in with Star Wars fans. They've already checked in with us because Brody earlier said Star Wars instead of Star Trek.
And ruined my childhood!
And certain Star Wars fans were so upset about the movie The Last Jedi.
It really tickles me.
I love it so much.
They've decided they can do better. And a guy is trying to raise, I think, $200 million to remake The Last Jedi.
So cute.
Ryan Johnson, the actual director of The Last Jedi, just tweeted, please, 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 please actually make this happen. Please, please, please. But yeah, so the guy is claiming he's not a men's rights activist. And to prove this, he says he wanted Kelly Marie Tran to, quote, have a better role. But his idea of a better role is to make her more like a male movie character. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, she should have been a badass pilot who, like, fought Poe and given him a run for his money instead of, like, the character who I wasn't able to make do whatever I wanted to make her do. Yeah, so still some toxic masculinity in his denial of being a men's rights activist.
My favorite thing about people who don't like The Last Jedi never really give you a good, like, a concrete reason why, other than, like, the casino scene was sort of boring, and I'm just like, yeah, well, yeah. The prequels were all the worst.
Yeah, so, the prequels were just nothing but casino scenes. Yeah. And, like, way worse.
Just admit you don't like women. Just admit that you just want to see an all-pork movie. I get it, okay?
Yes.
So he has created a Kickstarter, actually not a Kickstarter, a website, okay. RemakeThelastJedi.com, and he is accepting donations, and $25, you get a ticket to the movie, and an I Saved Star Wars t-shirt. For $100, you can be an extra in the movie. So
you can pay $100, can you imagine, $100 gets you in to be an extra. Just picture that day on set.
In a Star Wars movie?
Every,
in an official
like walking release? Bottle of body spray just converges on set at once. All of them. It's just $100.
Yeah.
Oh man. To be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, if every extra in the Star Wars universe was just a man. Just a white guy with a beard. My favorite thing about this is that these people have no idea how intellectual property works at all.
Yes.
Or how movies are
Let me do it!
Just like, give me the exact amount of money that you professionals made to make this movie with a Disney and backing from, you know, LucasArts and all these kind of things. Just like the best people who make movies and like sound and like CG, and we can do all that with the
same. I got a MacBook.
But yeah.
For $100, he is offering to fly anyone in the world to the set of the movie to be an extra in the movie. I don't think he's thinking this through quite all the way. But holy shit, he has raised over $85 million, according to the website. Now, one important thing to note is that the only thing he's requiring is for you to email him how much you hypothetically would spend.
Cool.
So he's taking IOUs. And you don't have to give him any information about yourself or a credit card or anything like that. You're just pledging to help cover the budget for the remake of... Why is he framing this as a remake? Why wouldn't he just try and make a different movie?
This is definitely a common criticism.
There's a fan edit that's like an hour long that just like took out everything everybody hates, and it's essentially just all the ladies. And Luke. I won't spoiler, but it takes out the Luke. Okay. A lot of Luke.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Luke
that's
dies.
Weird.
It makes Luke not die.
That's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing's really stupid.
Yeah.
It's...
Nerds.
Yeah.
It's the saddest kind of nerds.
Just like, get over it.
I'm not sure why this hurts so much for some people.
Me neither.
But it is obviously a deep and agitating pain that they feel. And I wish for them that that was healed, because The Last Jedi didn't do anything to you.
Me too. It's a movie. You don't control it. Yeah. Disney controls it. They're going to make a hell of a lot more Star Wars movies, so you'll have a lot more to complain about.
Yeah, enjoy that.
I don't know what you want. One of my least favorite things, one of my formerly favorite like movie reviewer YouTubes. This is called Red Letter Media, and mm-hmm. they did these a lot of like Star Wars like breakdowns that yeah. were like really interesting.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, Harry Potter too. And then when The Force Awakens came out a couple years ago, they did one on that eventually. And then they spent probably like 10 minutes complaining about there was too much diversity in Star Wars now.
And it's in just space.
Like, in space,
there's
half
not
the
enough
characters
white people in space.
Are aliens. Why was this ever an issue? Like, I don't understand
oh,
at
shit,
all.
Shit, I didn't even know that. Yeah. I did really used to enjoy those reviews.
Yeah, I had to unsubscribe, and it really does suck because I did like them a lot up until that point. My in-universe explanation in my head was always just that, oh yeah, white people came from Alderaan, and then Alderaan right. got blown up.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
That is my favorite explanation yeah. for where the fuck white people
yeah.
came from.
And then, right. that always has worked for me.
They really should just put that in the next movie.
They really should.
Yeah.
It would
yeah.
solve everything.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. It was like, oh yeah, there's an Asian planet, there's a black planet. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that was loosely implied yeah. by the Star Wars universe. Yeah.
Another movie that's going to be triggering the right wing, Snowflakes.
The only triggers
Watch
they
out.
Care about are on their AK-47s.
Am I right?
You yeah. cry out of their dead clits.
Hell yeah.
What?
Nothing. Sorry, that other Caitlin clits. Makes me really mad. There's that conservative commentator, his last name I forget, but her name is Caitlin with a K, so she's wrong from the beginning.
Okay. Right.
But she's the one who did the college graduation picture with her big old gun.
Oh, is that
guns
her?
Guns and stuff,
and
yeah.
who, like, was on the beach eating Chick-fil-A.
Yes.
Like, oh,
fuck your pride. They say no Chick-fil-A during pride.
And drinking lip
pie.
Tears.
Bing, pie,
lip tears.
Does this trigger you?
Triggered lips.
It's so boring. And it's defiling my name.
Yeah.
There are good Caitlins out there. She's
there
not
are.
Every Caitlin.
My younger sister is a Caitlin.
Aww.
Who also misspells it. But,
that's okay.
Well. Not with a K.
Okay.
My girlfriend, this is not news. My girlfriend approached me last night apropos of nothing and just said, I think you spell Caitlin right. I think it is the most natural derivative of Catherine. And then just like the K ones just doesn't feel right. And then she walked off. Like,
she had just
thank
been,
you.
She's
thanks,
a keeper.
Babe. Thanks.
She's a keeper.
She'd been mulling that in the
she
back
lived,
of her mind for 5 years.
A minute later, like, sorry, I was just thinking about that. Love you, babe.
So Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom comes out this weekend.
Such a good title for, like, I know I'm going to love it. This movie's going to be trash. And I love that self-aware they just called it Jurassic, just put the is in. Jurassic right. World is a Fallen Kingdom.
Right. instead, they've used a colon, and it turns out they built Jurassic Park on top of an active volcano that's about to erupt.
Guys.
I think they're going full B-movie. I think they're going just like full, not Jerry Seinfeld's B-movie. I think they're going full, like, we're just in a universe where things explode for
yep.
no reason.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm fine with.
Yeah, it's a blockbuster dumb action thing now, so
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. So they have to get those dinos off that volcano, and then all sorts of chicanery ensues, and apparently they just get into a really muddy, like, Trump allegory where there are, like, multiple Trump stand-ins with, like, bad blonde wigs in
yeah.
the movie.
To be fair, everything is, like, a Trump allegory. Everything that was, like, written, like, around 2 years ago
mm-hmm.
and when people didn't expect Trump to actually be president is, like, coming out now.
Right.
That's true.
So we're getting a lot of allegories like that. I'm just like, what if the world was like this? It's just like, oh,
that's
no,
true.
It's actually worse.
Yeah.
Right. That's so true.
Yeah, kind
yeah,
of
this
with the
was...
timeline of writing a script and making a movie, you can't move fast enough to make satire at this
yeah.
point.
Right, yeah.
This was written at a time when it was just like, God, could you imagine? And we all were looking at the New York Times page that was like 99%. Hill's gonna win. But so there's even a part where one of the bad guys with a bad blonde wig calls the young female hero who is a paleo veterinarian, he calls her a nasty woman.
Yeah.
So
more evidence wow. this was written in 2016.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, exactly.
Hitting the nail right on the head there, guys.
Yep. Yeah, so I don't know. It's also the main bad dinosaur is bought by, quote, our Russian friends. Like, Russians buy the bad dinosaur. And the bad dinosaur is introduced with, like, a bunch of, like, blaring white lights behind it, like Trump being introduced at the RNC.
So funny.
Yeah, the dinosaurs going up down an elevator and escalator. announcing its presidential
really stands like upright with its knees locked for some reason.
Dinosaur mouth agape at a kid mowing a lawn.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing. It looks like a hot mess that I will excitedly watch.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I don't think there's anything you could do with that series to rekindle the joy and excitement of watching Jurassic Park for the first time, because it was groundbreaking in a way that you don't get to break ground again. Mm-hmm. Its story wasn't groundbreaking. Its story was always stupid and derivative.
Yeah.
It's a Spielberg picture. It's people looking wide-eyed into a camera at something you can't see. He's a brilliant director, unless you watch his movies twice. but there's nothing else to wring out of the wonder. So it's got to be spectacle. It's going to be big and gross and stupid, and I'm going to see it, and I know it's going to be terrible.
Okay.
I think Jurassic Park holds up upon multiple viewings.
Of course.
And I have seen Jaws 150 times.
I've watched both Jurassic Park and Jaws. In the last week, I watched Jaws last night. I love
it. Did you really? Wow. Isn't that so good? But it's
Spielberg's just a genius at leaving a plot hole that a truck could drive through that you simply don't see the first time around. He's great at leaving things in plain sight because you're not going to notice them.
Great reference to his first movie, TV movie Duel.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Reaching back.
So Jeff Goldblum makes an appearance here and says, "Too many red lines have been crossed, and our home has, in fundamental ways, been polluted by avarice and political megalomania." And our writer, Jay McNabb, was like, wait, what? What political megalomania? That doesn't reference, like, anything that happened in the movie? That's just, like, a quote directly about America.
It's just
that
Jeff Goldblum. They just put the camera on him on set and decided to use the footage.
He's playing piano in that cameo as well.
Right.
His beard is looking lush and fabulous.
Talk about fictional characters everybody wants to fuck.
Yes.
Dr. Ian Malcolm. So not to say blockbuster movies shouldn't shit all over Trump, but let's do it better than this, maybe.
I mean, the fun part of the plot of Jurassic Park the first time was this wonder and wanting to reconnect with something that brought you wonder, and then that having unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. Those are themes still worth exploring. You don't have to go straight to, if you know your movie's going to be released 2 years after you write it, maybe don't go for the direct topical reference. You still have this sort of larger theme to draw on that, like, not all of your impulses are good. Mm-hmm. That you can be really tempted by something that looks like it might be fun, but then it is Donald Trump. You see what I mean? Like, you have it right there. It was right there in your original message.
Yeah, dinosaurs. Right. We like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That's it. Keep it there. And there's also a controversy, right, about one of the characters is supposed to be a lesbian character, and then they cut a line or something.
The main character.
She's the main character.
Paleo.
New Laura Dern?
Yeah, the new Laura Dern. Actually, more the new Sam Neill.
Okay.
Is a young woman who I think was a lesbian in the original, like they shot the shooting script, and then they cut that quote for the sake of time. So,
not to be fair, I think representation is extremely important, but like, from what I read, the line that they cut wasn't very good. Like, the line was, I think she like was in the line, she was like sort of hitting on Chris Pratt of just like, I'm not into dudes, but like, maybe. Like, I think that's what it was.
As lady and a lady, that's fair, honestly. With the Chris Pratt, I get it.
Fine that they cut that. I don't care.
Right.
Big old Boosh eater, I can say fucking thank you.
Boosh
I would love to see the kind of representation in media where it's like being a lesbian or being a gay person or being whatever isn't your whole character.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like Chris Pratt needed a line where it's like, I'm not into dudes, but maybe you, Brody, I would bone down with. Like, we just assume everybody's straight. It's not that big a deal if a character is a lesbian and doesn't fucking tell you.
Right.
It's a cool backstory to have. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, no one said that Veckman in the new Ghostbusters was a lesbian, but she's become an icon anyway.
Yeah, because you don't have to.
Totally.
You can look at me and know if I have to tell you, then you're not going to get it even if I did.
Oh, that hetero woman's wearing a great jean jacket.
The girlfriend and I joke about that all the time, that people think that we're just a very friendly professor-student combo.
Is it time for...
She's my TA. Tits and ass.
There it is. I believe it is time for a very brief World Cup date.
Do you believe it's time?
Oh, that was really quick. That was very brief.
That's
Thank
the
you.
Update, everybody.
Thank you,
very
Super
much.
Producer Doug. Not only is Miles out, but Super Producer Nick Stumpf is also out, so we have sitting in for him. Super Producer Doug.
I miss you, Miles. I miss you, Nick. But Doug, you're doing great.
Doug,
and
you're
Miles, your chair
it.
Is very comfortable. I'm happy to help anytime you want to go away.
So Nigeria beat Iceland this morning 2-0, which Nigeria lost to Croatia 2-0. So this is all to, by the transitive property, suggests that Croatia is really fucking good because they also beat Argentina 3-0 yesterday. Everyone was like, well, shit, Argentina's whole World Cup is over. Man. But the fact that Nigeria won means that Argentina's still alive. So, and also, I'm glad that Nigeria is still alive because Nigeria has dope uniforms and travel outfits. That's what I pay attention to. And Brazil beat Costa Rica 2-0. That has been World Cup Date. No, I don't have anything else. Are you guys watching the World Cup?
I haven't really watched the World Cup, but I have been watching some memes. I will retweet my favorite meme. When Mexico won, I think they beat Germany 1-0.
Yes, they did.
There was this meme of just like this this old Mexican grandma who is she's watching the World Cup, and as the TV is like showing all the players, she blesses all of them.
Yeah. It's doing the like all sports fans know it's during the national anthem.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a close up shot on one face, then track to the side, close up shot on the next face, and like yeah. each time it stops, she just does the sign of the cross on their
man.
Head as if the shot is specifically for her to bless them. Like it's just like it's so beautiful.
And they won, so
yeah, and the conveyor belt of papal blessings worked and they defeated Germany. Yes. The godless Germans. All right, it is time for Bloyd Watch.
Bloyd Watch.
Nice.
What's Bloyd up to?
So one just big Bloyd. Overarching Bloyd story is that David Pekar, a guy who we talk about every time we talk about the tabloids because he is the main publisher of American Media Inc., AMI. They publish, I'd say, like 6 of the 8 main tabloids that you see. They publish The Globe, they publish the National Enquirer, Us Weekly, I think OK and Life and Style are the only ones that they don't publish. But he is also, in addition to like running this whole tabloid behemoth, he is one of Donald Trump's best friends.
Oh, gross.
And there was a conspicuous absence of any stories about Donald Trump during the presidential election. The only stories you would see about him appeared to have been written by him. Like they were, not only were they very complimentary of Donald Trump, but they were also written in his voice. They would be like, "This is amazing. He's the
most
best.
Amazing and thing.
He,
best thing."
Donald Trump had the best sex with the most women all the time. And when specifically, like the headlines were filled with shitting on Hillary Clinton, also in Donald Trump's voice, and just using like his exact language. Anyways, we just found out because of the raid on Michael Cohen's things that American Media Inc. was sending headlines to Michael Cohen before publishing them for approval. Mm. It was not an accident that they were written in his voice. They were essentially written
in his voice.
Right. Like by his people. So that's just something to keep in mind. I know you guys have been making all of your political decisions based on the headlines you see in the grocery mart checkout aisle. So just maybe pump the brakes on that a little bit.
It's fucked. Nobody believes the Inquirer, but when the Inquirer puts out her emails 30 million times on every cover, then, you know, it's forced to become part of a conversation, even if the conversation is like, that's ridiculous. Why are you talking about her emails?
Ideas
as soon
get
as that sentence
head,
comes
like,
out, it's done.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of tabloids. We know they aren't true, and yet that seed still germinates while we're, you know, trying to not buy candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many studies about, you know, how headlines work where even just seeing, like, I remember one of the big studies was about when Karl Rove did a robocall about how John McCain had an illegitimate daughter, and when he was in a primary election against George W. Bush, and then there was a huge retraction the next day, but all anybody remembered was something about him having an illegitimate daughter. I forget, like, who told me that or what.
Yep.
We don't remember anything about where we heard the information or, like, what the context was. All we remember is, like, the little chunk of sticky information that sticks in our head.
Like a brain tumor.
Right, exactly. Otherwise, what'd you guys see? We always spend a little time kind of scanning the bloids on Friday morning. I have some Carrie Underwood non-news. It says, we almost didn't make it, how faith saved her marriage. They're still talking about her falling down and hurting her face, and it's more pictures of her looking identical to how she looked before she fell down. So that story still continues to baffle me. If anybody can find a picture where she doesn't look completely exactly as perfect as she did before she fell down, please let us know.
She's a talented woman, and I understand how important someone's image is to their professional career in entertainment. Mm-hmm. But she hurt her. We're fine. People fall down.
Yes.
She might even have a scar. Maybe you can even see it.
Oh,
I'm pretty
no.
sure she's still talented. That's why we started talking about her.
Right.
It's just but how does it affect her talent? The part we like about, you just wanted, did you want to fuck
anything?
Where that scar was? Is that why you're upset? You wanted to fuck the part of her face that now has a scar? Why do we?
I don't know if it's self-imposed or if she's just getting all the inbound inquiries as to, like, interviews, and she's just kind of focused on it, or if they're just focused on it. Meghan Markle and Harry are having twins, and you can tell because on the cover of OK, there is an arrow pointing to her completely flat, normal human stomach that does have a little stamp of approval that says, Palace confirms. And then when you read the article, they have done no such thing.
Also, it's a boy and a girl. We have already gendered the two babies that are at this point like fish zygotes or something.
Yep. What do you guys learn on your Bloid Watch?
Brody. Take it, baby.
I mean, I really don't have, like, news. There's really just, like, a lot of pictures in here of, like, Roseanne Barr crying, having a breakdown, which is great.
Feels good, doesn't it? It kind of does. I don't want it to, but it does.
There's also a really funny picture in here of Mel Gibson. He has a pizza that he had took on out, and the caption is just like, "Ooh, look at this pudgy little pizza boy." And I'm like, that's the kind of tabloids I like.
It's just
mean
a burn book.
About
it's
people
just
I don't
a,
like, yeah.
like middle school burn book.
That's exactly what it is.
That's what I've found in the Inquirer from, I don't know, doesn't matter. I mentioned that Top Gun was sort of a formative movie in my youth. Apparently, Kelly McGillis, who was the heartthrob of Top Gun, released, I want to say, in like 1986.
Yes.
Apparently, she's aged something appallingly like 22 years.
Pass me the bucket. I got to throw up.
Fucking
I got to throw
disgusting.
Up.
Disgusting. It's almost like her body changed.
Oh, gross.
I can't believe I ever had a boner.
Time. This is so, like, Tom Cruise has stayed in the public limelight in a way that Kelly McGillis haven't. And even Tom Cruise at this point in his life just made an entire movie about how he's getting too old for this shit.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Like, the most recent Mission Impossible, the trailer is just him falling down. Just falling. And falling and falling. Like, yeah, we're all older. So the Inquirer decided to let us know. These days, the stout star looks to be bursting at the seams. Mm, I'm just going to breeze right through this because there are a lot of fat people puns that are pretty exciting. You've never heard some of these sick burns. This is some pretty original material they're firing out with. One-time Top Gun sex pot, Kelly McGillis has been grounded by her massive payload.
Okay.
Ha! Got
wow.
her!
Boom.
Let's see. The other stars are gearing up to be in the long-awaited sequel to the 1986 blockbuster, but not her. She's battled some booze and drug addiction, and now she's a compulsive eater. Girl, take care of yourself. Do what you need. Hollywood is a tough town. I would drink and eat pills about it, too. Sometimes you need a little help.
Seriously.
And honestly, eating's good. The 5'10" star, 5'10", 250. I'm 6'1". I was 230 earlier this year. That's like a normal human body. That's a normal human who might say something like, I don't know, I could lose 15 pounds.
Yeah.
It's just not... She's 5'10".
Yeah, it's just...
That's a normal amount of human poundage.
Just describing my mom.
Kelly's inability to get back in shape torpedoed talks to bring her back for the follow-up film.
back into shape. Back.
Baby, she's like 50 or something. She's in 50 shape.
She hasn't been in a movie in like, what, 30 years or something?
Right. It's a shame. Bring her back in the first place. An insider spilled of the 60-year-old star. She was a huge part of the original film. Stupid. Now she's just huge.
Well, she hasn't been sleeping in a stem cell chamber for the last 30 years like Tom Cruise has.
She doesn't suckle the stem cells of young goats or whatever.
Right. And just waited on hand and foot by slaves.
By David Miscavige.
By young slaves. Yeah. Also, Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston, still not together, guys. Despite what all the headlines suggest, they are not getting back together. I don't think they've even seen each other. But they will show you pictures of them standing next to each other from 10 years ago.
I can't believe that's
like, it's official. They're getting married. Yeah, I think it's just go with what worked.
I feel like when both of them finally die, it's just like, oh, will Jen be buried next to
plot? Exactly. All right.
Can you imagine being defined by the relationships you had either in the 90s or in your 20s? Take your pick.
Oof.
Right? If that's all anybody talked to you, like you tried with your, like you go on to huge accomplishments and still all that anybody talks about is like, is Caitlin still gonna fuck Kevin? Like, I don't know. Sorry, Kevin. Hi. Good to talk to you.
Also, if anybody can find a picture of David Pekar shirtless, we should spread that around.
Should we? Is that responsible journalism?
That is.
Yeah.
It's wildly responsible.
Show us some hard pecs.
Show us those pecs.
Unless he's like super ripped and hot, which
I don't know. Either way, let's just put it out there.
Yeah. I want to see it. All right, guys. It has been a pleasure having you both here. Uh-huh. We have come to the end of the show. Brody, where can people find you, follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at AOBroBro. It's the only thing that matters, I guess.
Just in a general sense.
It's the only thing I check regularly. You can email me. And
and we also like to ask our guests, what's a tweet that you've enjoyed of late?
I feel like I kind of burned it on that abuela. Yeah,
the abuela is great. People should check out the abuela. We'll link to it in the footnotes.
Great.
Caitlin.
Yes.
It has been goddamn pleasure having you.
What a treat.
My co-host.
Thank you. The Zeitgang is always so kind to me when I appear. I appreciate each and every one of you. To those of you who do not like me, your comments are always very polite. I imagine the feedback would be more useful if you talked about a guest that you did like, but thank you so much for being the sweetest trolls. I didn't care as much for this episode as others, is basically the strongest words I've ever gotten. So thank you so much. Even if you've hated my grating voice, trust me, I do too. So I sympathize. I'm more likely to agree with what you have to say than a compliment. So I get it, but it's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you so very much.
Where can people find you?
Robot Caitlin on Twitter, at CaitlinIsTall on Instagram, and at CaitlinGillComedy.com. Plus, on June 28th, Zeitgang in Los Angeles can find me at the Hollywood Improv Lab for Caitlin Gill's Lab Oratory, my monthly exploration into stand-up comedy goodness.
Lab Oratory, huh?
I know, it's a good pun, right?
It is a great
build
pun.
A show around the pun.
There it is. Do you have a tweet that you want to share with people?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, there are some gems lately. Yes, sorry. Today's goal is to not look at the news. I will do that by cutting off my hands. That's Marlon Rodriguez. I really dug that one.
I like that a lot.
The other thing I like, I can't tell you about, but look up any synchronized NBA. I think there's a whole Twitter account for synchronized, like, NBA players are just always commonly very synchronized in their movements, and fun to watch.
Oh, that I cool. love those.
Like when they all take off at the same time.
Yep, turn around like at the robots. Same time.
There's a really interesting study that looked at the number of times NBA teams touch each other. Because, you know, like when they're shooting free throws, even like when they miss, they all like touch hands almost like obligatorily. Right. Like it's just like, well, we all have to do this now. they found that the Golden State Warriors like 3 years ago were the team that touched each other the most right before they like just like rocketed. Yeah, and human touch, very important, guys. Locks everybody in together.
Nice. I'm going to touch both of your hands as we say goodbye. We go. This feels weird and I'm clammy. But thank you. Thank you so much.
I am incredibly clammy always. a tweet that I liked is from Demia Did You eBay. He quote, "I hereby move that we stop calling Jesse Plemons Meth Damon / Budget Matt Damon and instead demote Matt Damon to Messy Plemons." Needs to happen. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Oh my God, there's no miles. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. Super producer Anna Hosnier has a song for us to ride out on.
Holy crap, I just started watching Synchronized NBA, and it is wild.
Isn't it incredible? Nice. It is so satisfying. It feels really good.
It's the Matrix.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, sorry to come off so hot. Okay, so this song, it's called I Love California by this band Become Honcho, and they're out of San Francisco, and they're this great band. I went to college with the lead singer and potentially other members, and it's a great song. And they refer to themselves as forest surf rock, so I like it. And if you love California, you're gonna love this song. The lead singer Shannon did a lot of spoken word in college, so she kind of mixed that in, and it's done well. It's not done in that way where you're like, it's done well. All right, so enjoy this song.
All right, that's gonna do it for this week. We will be back on Monday for more Daily Zeitgeist. Talk to you guys then. Bye. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.